my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you by listeners who are just like you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, 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 thank you for every single one of these people and more. Anna O, John M, Roger A, Alex B, Samurai Flea, Jason A, Nate Dog, Alex B, James W, Trey H, Forrest B, and Chris B. Truly, the show would not be the same without your support. You can join this awesome team and get some great perks for yourself over at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. Hello and welcome to episode 143 of the Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown. This week, I've decided to record an episode just for you. And this episode has taken on a few different terms. So a couple of weeks ago, I sent out to all of the patrons of the show who are $2 and above, I sent them my early thoughts on what I was going to do for an open letter for the Hearthstone development team. They asked for feedback in the works letter, and I felt like I had had a lot of time to process things, and so I started putting together my thoughts for that. And then something happened. This past, I believe it was Thursday, we heard the balance changes were coming, and that kind of threw everything out the window. So this episode, we're going to roll with it. You know, we've actually got a lot of news to talk about, and that's okay, because news is fun, right? Sometimes it's tough to process and know exactly which parts are good and which parts are not so good and all of that. So we finally did just hear of balance changes yesterday. And so I could talk to you about the meta like I usually do during these episodes. But the truth is the meta is about to shift drastically this week. And not a lot has really changed over the past few days, or I guess couple weeks since we did that. So I thought that today instead, let's just talk about all of the happenings in Hearthstone, what they mean for you, and my initial thoughts on kind of where we're at, and continuing to give feedback, I suppose. So maybe an open letter will happen another day. I will include some thoughts, of course, in this episode. And I'm so thankful that you would choose to join me for whatever you're doing, your commute, your cooking time. Maybe this is your gaming time. I don't know. I wonder how you listen to your podcasts or what you're typically doing during podcasts. I'd like to hear that. So I'll probably put a question out there. But let me bring it back to the show, specifically with why I'm happy this week. I have a lot of reasons to be happy. So one of them is that I got to guest with Brian on Hearth Casual this past week. So if you haven't heard that, Brian is the host of Realm Maintenance. You may know him as Ro on those shows. And he and Multizord, or Kevin, are the hosts of Hearth Casual. And it is the ultimate, they put it best, really. It's for anybody who finds their fun in Hearthstone off of the ladder system. So they talk about tavern brawls, fun decks, all that kind of stuff. Love what they do, and they invited me to be on their show last week. Kevin was actually sick, so I was happy and honored to fill in his shoes for a week. So if you weren't able to listen to that yet, you definitely should. You can search for Hearth Casual in your podcast app of choice, or I'll put a link in the show notes over at thehappyhearthstone.com. So thank you so much, Brian and Kevin, for having me on there. Can't wait to meet you both here very soon. The second reason I'm happy, this is a three-parter, I guess. Second reason I'm happy is because I had, like, ultimate event weekend. So some of you guys know that Saucy Mailman, who you can find on Twitch under that moniker, he and I found out we live in the same city. And so he got some friends together to do a cube draft of Magic the Gathering. And Rod, our buddy from Tier 5, came down from Denver to hang out with us. And so it was so much fun. If you're not familiar with this, essentially what a draft is typically at a card store, I hope I'm right about this, what you'll do is you'll like buy a whole box of booster packs and you'll play a draft with several other people, five or six or something like that, and you'll open up one of your packs and choose one card from that pack and put it down as like, this is my card that I get to keep. And then you'll pass the remaining cards to the person on your right. And then you'll choose one card from that and keep going and going. And you'll go through all the booster packs. And then all the cards in front of you that you've chosen, those are your cards to keep. And for the draft event, what you do is you create a deck only with those cards. Usually they'll allow you to put mana lands and stuff. If you don't know those in Magic, it's okay. But Saucy Mailman has a collection, and he decided to actually create kind of fake booster packs for us. So they're all his cards. He's keeping them. But we got to draft still, and it was so much fun. My goodness. I haven't played Magic in, I mean, I was probably like 16 maybe when I, no, even that's too early. Probably like 13 or 14. Well, so like 15 years or something like that. Geez. So it was a lot of fun. It was a throwback for sure. And he's just got some really cool friends, and I love Saucy and Rod a lot. So great to spend some time with those guys, and fun just doing something radically different in the card space. So a draft like this is something that you could only do for a lot of money typically, and you got to invest in Magic. But thankfully, Saucy's done that already and decided to just bless us with his collection and his crazy card. He had some really crazy cards. So there, okay, one of these cards, this is from like an old Magic set. It's one mana. It's one island mana, if you know what that is. And the effect is the spell, you draw three cards or force your opponent to draw three cards. Are you kidding me? You draw three cards for one mana? That's just, my opponent won that game because he had that card. That was crazy. But just so much fun. Love hanging out with those guys. So that was a really good time. And then the final point for why I'm happy, but certainly not the least of these. If you're following me on Twitter, you might have seen that I finally made the announcement I've kind of been teasing out for a while. So I've told you all that I'm planning on being at Con Before the Storm and haven't been invited to be on the World of Podcasts for the Hearthstone panel. Been planning on that for a long time, and I really didn't want to, like, as my wife and I talked about the trip and stuff, we just thought it made sense for now for me to just plan on going just for the World of Podcasts event. It would be really fun, really fast, but just kind of what we could make work. Well, I was blessed by a friend this past week, incomparably, and I'm going to be able to go to BlizzCon now, and I am just out of my mind excited. So if you've been planning on coming to World of Podcasts, please continue that, and I can't wait to see you there. But I know I talked with some people who were only going to be able to make it for BlizzCon because days were awkward, taking off work and stuff like that. So if you're going to be at BlizzCon, let me know because I would love to meet up. I would love to see you, shake your hand, hug your neck, whatever's appropriate we'll do. And it'll be a lot of fun. I cannot wait. This is a bucket list item for me. Never been before. And I don't know if I'll ever be able to go again. So I'm going to treat this like it's my one time to go. And I'm just really, really looking forward to it. So if any of you have gone and have any advice for me on how to make the most out of the trip, I would very much appreciate that. Because I feel like I'm going to be a kid in the candy store for the most part. I mean, most of you know that like Hearthstone is the main game that I play, and I really enjoy Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm when I get a chance to play them in the Blizzard universe. But World of Warcraft, I'm not as much into. StarCraft 2, kind of same thing. So I'll probably be splitting my time mostly between Hearthstone and Overwatch, I would assume. Heroes is kind of hard to follow if you don't know everything. I'll pop my head in, of course. I've got to see everything while I'm there, right? But I'll probably be spending my time in the tavern for the most part. So really looking forward to that event. Cannot wait. Cannot wait to see, meet, and hang out with a bunch of you. It's going to be a blast. Okay, so before we get into the bulk of the show, which is news and stuff, I want to take a quick sponsor break and thank those of you who are giving over at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. It is no small feat to go from just being a casual listener of a podcast to supporting it financially. And I mean that. It is a really big deal. And whether that came naturally to you, or I know many of you, you probably listened for a long time, really enjoyed the show, kind of thought about it, maybe checked out the Patreon, but you finally went over the edge and really became a part of the family. I just can't put it into words how thankful I am for each of you, because truly every dollar that you put into this show is a dollar that you're investing to allow me to spend more time creating content for you. So if you enjoy this show, if you want to see more things happen, then supporting the show on Patreon is the absolute best way to do that. And starting at just a dollar a month, you can get some great perks. I've always said a dollar a month is something that pretty much anyone can afford. If you're getting serious about your budget and stuff like that, look at that, see if it's possible. And at higher ranks, like the $5 or more, you get exclusive content every week. I've been really thankful for the opportunity to create even more great content for those of you who are giving at that level. So be sure to go check it out, patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. And again, I don't think I'll ever be able to truly thank those of you who are giving enough on there. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's get into all of the stuff. I'm going to save the best for last. I know you just want me to talk about the balance changes, and it's a big deal. And I always say in these solo shows that this is going to be a shorter show than usual. I really mean it this time because I can't talk about all those reports and stuff. But and also, this is kind of a day where family is needing me quite a bit. So I'm going to be there for them, but I'm going to be there for you before we get there. So let's talk about all this news that's going on, and we'll talk about the low-hanging fruit first. Hollow's End, as this episode is dropping, starts tomorrow, Wednesday, October 17th. And you, many of you know the details around this. We're going to have the dual class arena back, which is really exciting and a lot of fun. You are going to get a free arena ticket, if you didn't know that, for just for logging in during the event. I think it's the 17th through the 31st. And you'll get a free arena ticket, and you'll get a free Golden Witch's Cauldron. So whether you dust that or you like it and keep it, you're good to go. Honestly, I think I've mentioned this before. Because it gives you golden spells, it's like an extra special golden card. So it's going to be a lot for me to dust that, honestly. And I'll have to find some kind of. I wonder if I could make like a Halloween or a Hollow's End themed deck with like the witch. What was her name? The Blood Witch, the 4-mana 3/6 that deals 1 damage. Put the bats in there, put the cauldrons. That could be fun. Maybe like a Zoo-ish deck. Have fun with the game. Use that Golden Witch's Cauldron or dust it and make something good. Whatever you want. But I'm really looking forward to this time. And just as a bonus, you may have heard this on Hearth Casual. We talked about it. If you start up an arena run before the event begins, and you play it until you get 2 losses, so it's not void or completed yet, and you let the event start, you'll get an extra arena ticket for that as kind of like a refund. So it's like a 2-for-the-price-of-1 thing. I actually started one. I went 4-2 with it, and I'm just going to let it rest. I was kind of bummed because I thought it was a really good deck, but it's 2-for-the-price-of-1. You really can't go wrong with that. And definitely use that free arena ticket. The dual classes are lots of fun. Maybe we'll talk about it next week a little more in depth, but that's all for now. So the next thing to talk about is the BlizzCon virtual ticket rewards. So for each game, Blizzard gives some perks for you in-game in each of their games. And last year, virtual ticket holders got a golden copy of Marin the Fox, kind of getting ready for the Kobolds and Catacombs release. Year before that, I can't remember what it was, but this year you were going to get a special BlizzCon card back, and it is gorgeous. It is like looking into Luna's galaxy, Luna's pocket galaxy, or something like that. It's just gorgeous. I've gotten so many card backs over the year now that it's really tough for me to be in on a purchase based off of a card back. But this is a really special one. This is one I could see using for a very long time. So you definitely want to go check it out. And on top of the card back, you're going to get an Everyone Get In Here bundle, which is 10 packs that include 2 Classic, 2 Journey to Un'Goro, 2 Knights of the Frozen Throne, 2 Kobolds and Catacombs, and 2 Witchwood packs. So that's a nice little perk. I kind of like that they're giving us packs instead of one card. Marin the Fox was fun for a really short time, but everyone got him. So just getting a golden one and you couldn't dust it was kind of like, that's cool, but I'm not really going to use this after the next month. So the chance to get some even better cards is great in my book. So if this is something that interests you, you can go and check out all the details for the BlizzCon virtual ticket. It's actually in the Battle.net client if you're on a Mac or PC. You won't be able to see it if you're on a mobile device, but if you go and just go to blizzcon.com, you can check out all the details behind it. They've got other stuff like a Demon Hunter skin for Sombra in Overwatch and a mount in Heroes and I haven't seen the other ones. Brian was kind of disappointed, unfortunately, about the World of Warcraft ones. But those are all perks. The real draw to it is that you get live feeds of pretty much everything going on at BlizzCon, including some pre-show stuff, some post-show stuff. So if you're interested in that, if you wish you could go but you can't go, for $49 in America at least, you get all of that access and then some extra perks on top of that. So it's a pretty cool deal. You should definitely check it out and see if it's for you. All right, the next thing here on my list of news, the Vicious Syndicate Polarizing Report. Many of you had seen this. Vicious Syndicate comes out every week with a meta report that's so good and helpful for us to kind of have an idea of what's going on in a broad sense with the ladder system. And this was a really good report. If you haven't read it yet, I know many of the other podcasts have gone more in depth with this, so I don't want to belabor the point, and I've got some newer stuff to talk about anyway, but I do want to encourage you. I feel like it was so helpful for the conversations around why the meta feels a bit stagnant, why it's less fun to play, and the polarizing thing about it was just talking through how matchups were extremely polarizing lately. And so they basically did a breakdown of all the different significant meta shifts over the past year or two and looked at what are the most extreme win rates of decks during that time. What's the differential, I think, between win rates of decks? Because if there's a very high differential, that means that we have a lot of polarizing matchups. And if we don't, then that means we don't, right? I thought it was really good on Reddit. Someone asked, while it's clear that this meta is the most polarizing, which was what their report kind of proved, why, based on the data, is polarizing necessarily a bad thing? And Vicious Syndicate responded that it isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's like chocolate. Sweet in moderation, but can make you feel sick if you eat too much of it. And that was really good. I wish that they had included that kind of in the report, because it did kind of get me thinking at the end of it, oh yeah, polarizing's bad and we shouldn't do that. Mike Dene responded to that comment. He's one of the designers, the game designers for Hearthstone. It was not an encouraging comment, honestly, and he's kind of been known for those. I saw many responses to his response about previous times that he's sort of, he's pulled some punches, and I don't know that it's necessarily, what's the right word, justified, but he is, he's one of the designers, so he gets to do what he does. It certainly wasn't empathetic to the community, but I can understand probably that Team 5 felt a little bit threatened, maybe, which I know, and you know if you follow Vicious Syndicate for any amount of time, that they're certainly not trying to do that. They're trying to create and establish statistics and help us understand data better so that we can be able to put our feelings into words or pursue a better game, honestly. And I feel like maybe that could have been done in a better way in the report itself, but I know them well enough to know that that's their heart. So Ixar, on the other hand, made some really great comments, and I feel like they were very constructive. They were very helpful. And so I'll link to all of that stuff if you want to see it in the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com. But I had to mention this article because there was so much conversation in the community around it. And I think it sort of led to what happened with the balance changes this week. They certainly were in the works already. Excuse the pun, but don't excuse the pun. And yeah, that was kind of that. So one more thing, and then we'll get to the balance changes. This is the other last big thing. Twitch Rivals Hearthstone Gold Rush Hallow's End is a big event that is also kicking off. I should have included this with Hallow's End, so my apologies, but this is an event that's going on Twitch. Some of you may remember the Dungeon Run Challenge that happened when Kobolds and Catacombs was released. It was like a who can complete a dungeon run with all 9 classes first and broadcast it all live on Twitch. It was really exciting. There were some cash prizes, really fun, a very different way to engage the community and the competitive scene. And this is kind of what they're going for with this Twitch Rivals promotion. So here's what it says. With the return of Hallow's End and Dual Class Arena, Twitch is excited to present the Hearthstone Gold Rush Challenge beginning on October 17th. The challenge invites all Twitch streamers to participate in a race to obtain 5,000 gold on a new account during Hallow's End and compete for your share of a $25,000 prize pool. So here's how it works. When the Hallow's End event begins on October 17th, You'll create a new Hearthstone account to begin the race at zero gold. So these are brand new accounts that these streamers are playing with. You can clear the tutorial, get your classes to level 10, and begin your gold rush with games in play mode and arena. Games with friends and within Tavern Brawl will be ineligible. And you stream all gameplay related to completing the challenge on your Twitch profile. You got to link it to your Smash GG account just so they can track stuff. And the first person to reach 5,000 gold will win the grand prize of $15,000, with 7,000 and 3,000 being granted to second and third players. So the most effective way to build up your gold in Hearthstone is through Arena. I suppose they could get 10 gold for every three wins. So for 30 wins on a brand new account, they can get 100 gold. That's really not going to get them there, though. 5,000 gold is a lot. So that would take 50 days to do it that way. People are going to complete it before then. Really, the way to do this is to grind and get your 150 gold first so that you can get into Arena. And then you just do solid runs from there. If that first run is not so good, you're in trouble because you got to start all over. But this should be really fun. It's open to anybody who's on Twitch. So I really appreciate that they kind of open up these challenges to anyone like that, because it gives a chance for people who may not be hot on the scene to kind of rise up. And it gives us a fun thing to watch and engage with some of the Hearthstone streamers. I know it will be no surprise to you to hear from me, but it's accurate that Hearthstone viewership has gone down drastically in the past couple weeks. And there have been some very notable streamers who have been, you know, historically Hearthstone's greatest champions, who have kind of said, I'm absolutely done with that game. And it's really unfortunate, but I get it. And it's better that streamers are taking care of their mental, you know, sobriety than, subjecting themselves to gameplay that they're not enjoying. So I respect that. I understand it. But something like this is going to be a breath of fresh air before the next expansion comes out. And I think this will be a lot of fun to see your favorite streamers kind of go head to head with who's, you know, where you at with gold and really grinding it. I expect that we'll probably see somebody win in the first day or two. Actually, I haven't done the math, so I don't know if that's even possible. But this is going to take a long time to get there to 5,000 gold. So excited to see some of this. Definitely look out for it. If it's already October 17th, you should go over to Twitch and see who's playing. Probably lots of the big names, and enjoy all of that. Okay, that's all I can delay all of this with. Let's talk about the balance changes. So last week through Twitter, they announced on the Play Hearthstone channel that they were going to be announcing some balance changes today. And they mentioned in that tweet that those would probably, it sounded like those changes would be implemented this week, and that was absolutely true. So all of this that we're talking about will go into effect on October 18th. That's this Thursday. And as Brian and I talked about on Hearth Casual, it's sort of crazy that they're implementing it so quickly for the esports scene, for the Hearthstone Global Games, and for any HCT events. I guess we just finished up a round of the qualifiers, so it's probably not too bad on that. But for the Global Games, it kind of does shake things up quite a bit. So this update was very to the point. We've got three cards that are being changed, two in Standard and one in Wild, and that's all that we were given. So before we even get into the changes, I have to talk about probably the biggest thing that has been really unsettling to me with this. You know, we talked about it with the In the Works update, that it's great that Blizzard is keeping us updated with what they're thinking, processing, and deciding with the game, right? I remember, you know, a year or two ago, we were just begging for information about what was going on. It seemed like we would just get an update like this that was just dropped out of the sky. And that was kind of confusing, bewildering to us. And so I am still very thankful that they're updating us, that they're making choices. And I will say that I'm also impressed that they went from publicly stating they didn't see any need for change to truly listening to the community and responding to what the community was asking for. They've never just done whatever the community asked for, right? I saw many people, it's no surprise, with just these three cards changed, there were many more that people saw as issues that were not changed. And at the end of the day, I'm just thankful that they were responsive to the community. Here's the thing that is weird to me. they were obviously responsive to the community, yet they don't put anything in this update around that. And so it goes without saying that they listen to us, but I'm confused that there's not even a mention of, we heard you, here's what we're thinking. It, like, this update is just, the title is Upcoming Balance Update. And then it goes right into Giggling Inventor and talking about it. So I hate to be critical, but like I said in the last, as we were talking about in the works, I'm a marketer. So I work with words all day long. Today I set up email after email and I made some errors. I caught some errors before they went out. So I get that people make errors, right? But because words are so important and they communicate and form our perception of things, I am really bewildered that there wasn't any kind of, here's the process that happened from in the works to today. I don't need a detail of every single meeting that was held or anything like that, but I just kind of expected a little bit of, after we posted it in the works, we had a lot of heartfelt passion around people who saw things differently. And you know what? We care about that. And so we decided to go back to the drawing board and look at what changes could be made that would be beneficial to the game. And here's what we came up with. If I just had a simple paragraph like that, I would have felt so much better about this. But this just seems like, okay, this is what we're doing. It feels, again, the word is unempathetic to me. And that's very odd when there was so much heat around, developers not listening, not understanding the community, not being able to pick up on all of that. So I'm really confused by that. If anyone from Team 5's listening, I would urge you, find some way to just be connected in a deeper way. Because the connection we got were the comments from Mike Dene and Ixar after the polarization article. And those were two sides. I guess they were the yin and the yang, so maybe they balance each other out. But seriously, there's such an opportunity with these to establish who you are and how in touch you are with your community. Rather than forcing us to just believe that you have our best in mind, say it. Say we want these things. And you know what? We care about how the community feels about this game. So here's our decision for what we think is best for the game now in light of all of that. I really, it takes a very strong man to change his perspective on something. So kudos on that part. But I really would have loved to see just any sign of, hey, maybe we could have done better. Or we've really heard you now. Here's what we're going to do. Okay. So honestly, that's the biggest, that was kind of the biggest deal to me in this whole thing. But let's talk about the actual changes themselves. So Giggling Inventor is going up to 7 mana. Actually, we'll just hit all these really quick. Giggling Inventor is going up from 5 mana to 7 mana. Mana Worm is going from 1 mana to 2 mana. And Aviana will now cost 10 mana, up from 9 mana. So I have to say that I like all of these changes. I think that they're probably healthy for the game. This is not how I would have chosen things, but I'm really okay with having a different perspective. And, you know, one of the big things that I had to remember as I was looking at these is that we as a community have historically all been very wrong about the impact we believe balance changes will make. Do you guys remember Call of the Wild, the 8 mana, summon Huffer, Leok, and Misha for Hunter, the spell, 8 mana spell, and it got nerfed up to 9 mana because it was just being used in everything. And I thought, that's totally still going to be used. That's like nothing. And I was 100% wrong about that. So that's the one I always think back to when I kind of look at balance changes and think, really? That's it? So if you're feeling that way, I would really impress on you. Don't count your chickens before they hatch on this. Don't think that this isn't what the game needs. Give it a chance, give it some time, and let's trust that they really are moving things around in a way that they can understand the game, both future and present, a bit better than we can. And we'll see how that shakes out. So Giggling Inventor to 7 mana. This is the most surprising change to me. I was pretty vocal on Twitter that I thought there was no way that they were going to change things for Giggling Inventor. And it's because in the In the Works update on September 18th, this is a direct quote from what they said. They said, Giggling Inventor is hugely popular and shows up in a lot of decks. We intended for Giggling Inventor to be powerful because we found that having powerful neutral taunt minions leads to make games more interesting. That's what they said. So that was in line with their, hey, we've heard that people are kind of worried about this card, but we're really not. I think they mentioned, hey, we want to hear what you think also. But they were very convinced that there wasn't any issue. Now, fast forward to today, this upcoming balance changes. On October 15th, they say Giggling Inventor is one of the most powerful and popular cards we've ever created. There's virtually no downside to including it in a deck, and because it's neutral, it's played in almost every deck. I agree with that statement. Giggling Inventor has stepped beyond its intended role, and we don't feel that it should be as effective as it currently is. I have to go back to what I said about the empathy thing. This is such a different statement from what was made a month ago. Like radically, radically different. And I know in my intuitive sense that it was made based off of feedback from the community, but there's no way that the data shifted within a month's time so severely because, I mean, we're pretty much playing all the same decks that we were a month ago, right? I feel like there actually was something really recently that I saw that was actually, oh yeah, the Even Druid on Wild that Hylon made. That's a lot of fun if you need a deck to play, by the way. But other than that, I haven't seen any crazy new deck that's happening. So Giggling Inventor, I would offer, is probably being played as much as it was then. And yet the entire cadence of their statement and belief around it has shifted. Even, you know, like, not mentioning the community in this at all just feels bad to me. And so I'm a little taken back. I don't really know how to process it, but I just want to verbalize it. If anyone else is feeling that too, you're not alone. I'm thankful that they decided and had the humility to change their mind on it, but I wish they would have given more verbiage to why. Because if you just erase the In the Works update that we had, then all of this makes sense, honestly. Yeah, but in context that we've had this and that, it's weird to me at best. So I think that this is good. Many of you saw, actually Wicked Good was the one who really helped me see, like, Giggling Inventor did not need to be 6 mana because then even Shaman has access to it, even Paladin has access to it, and even Warlock have access to it. And all of those are pretty bad, and it's still pretty good at 6 mana. So 7 mana is probably the right choice. I was actually surprised that they didn't say that. They said that we initially tested this card at 6 mana in both current standard format as well as with cards that would be released in the future, and we felt its power level was still higher than is appropriate. Again, this is such an extreme difference, right? They said it's fine at 5 mana, and now it's like, yeah, even 6 mana, it's still too powerful. It's like, this is just such a very different placement on it. Again, ultimately, I'm so thankful that they made the choice that they did. Giggling Inventor is no Dr. Boom, so for a 7-cost minion, pop it out to Mex. I think Boom is going to see more play. This is a very significant nerf. And Wicked Good on Off Curve related it sort of to the Corridor Creeper nerf, and I agree that, you know, Corridor Creeper was played in everything before when it was a 5-5. And when it got nerfed to a 2-5, it still found a place in some Paladin decks when it could get buffed. But that's pretty, odd Paladin, because there were still a lot of tokens that could die and you can buff it and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure Giggling Inventor will find some use, but it will not be in the Evolve Shaman that they mentioned. Evolve Shaman? Really? Anyway, Mana Worm is going to be buffed up to 2 mana. Nerfed up to 2 mana, I guess. That's kind of weird to say. And if you've seen Zalay's video that he came out with after the In the Works article, he approached Mana Worm with no hesitation and said, I feel like this card has been a problem for a very long time. And honestly, I have to agree with Zalay. Mana Worm is so, so strong. And it has some ways to come up against it. But overall, a tempo mage deck that gets a hold of a Mana Worm on turn one can snowball out of proportion really, really fast and just be something that's really difficult to deal with. To me, this nerf feels a lot like when they nerfed Hex for Shaman from 3 mana up to 4 mana. It came out of nowhere and everyone was like, what? Now looking at Even Shaman, it kind of makes some sense. And it probably was a good nerf. Hex at 3 seems really, really strong to me. It was strong, I suppose. But looking at... this just seems like an untimely nerf. So I agree with it. I think it's probably healthy for the game. But Tempo Mage is not a problem. And it set off this in particular set off the community in an incorrect direction, but I understand why. Looking at this and saying, wait, this is what needed attention? Not all of the crazy ramp that Druid has or anything that Druid has. So I get that, but you've got to understand that Team 5 always sees things that we don't see, right? And it should be that way. They're the people behind the game. They are, you know, they have the intense data that we probably won't ever see, and that's okay too. And they know what's coming down the pikes. So this may be preemptive. I can't imagine that this isn't a direct response to Zelay, pretty much. I feel like probably Ixar watched that video and he thought, you know what? You're right. We should do that. And then they pushed it out. Because they knew that they were going to make some changes at that point anyway. And it just makes more sense that, you know, Mana Worm can still ramp out of proportion. But even just a turn delay can make a big difference. So I think this is a good change, but it's not one that's going to affect the meta very much at all, if at all. I mean, we are seeing some Aluneth Mage, and that does play Mana Worm. There's been talks of Even Mage. I don't know. I mean, this does make Even Mage better, but I don't know. We'll see. And then Aviana, obviously this is a response to the WoW community. Blizzard, thank you so much for respecting the WoW community. I haven't seen anyone in Wild upset about this. I have some people sort of mourning the loss, but kind of knowing that it needed to happen. So Aviana, if you don't remember, 9 mana, 5/5, your minions cost 1. And this was used in combination with Kun the Forgotten King, who is a 10 mana creature that had a battle cry that you could either gain 10 armor or refresh your mana crystals. So the combo was you play Aviana, you play Kun for 1 mana, which refreshes all your crystals, and then all of a sudden you've got 10 mana and this effect for minions cost 1 that can let you do crazy stuff like play Starliners and Brand Bronzebeards and all that stuff. So that combo has enabled a lot. Togwaggle Druid in Wild has survived off that. And the big issue was the Juicy Psych Melon could draw you Aviana and Kun and then a 7 mana something and an 8 mana something. And so now that Aviana and Kun are both at 10 mana, Juicy Psych Melon will not get those out. So I feel like this is a really good change. But Juicy Psych Melon, I've got to say, seems like it is such a limiting card for the card pool now, because we've seen the potential of it, because it hasn't been a card at all in Standard, but in Wild, it was absolutely insanely good, right? So while I like this change, I'm a bit nervous for the development team that keeping Juicy Psych Melon where it's at limits what they're able to do and what kind of cards they're able to print based off of those things. Hopefully they'll watch combos like this in the future, but like if I were in their shoes, I would want to change Juicy Psych Melon, maybe even remove it entirely, and for Aviana, still do this. Because now you can still do the combo with an Innervate or the coin. You can still play Aviana and then coin out Kun and still have crazy combos. It's just going to be more difficult to pull off, which is a good thing because that combo is just, it's so good. But now you're also going to have to draw them, which is also going to be hard. So I'll leave it to the Wild experts to say whether that's nerfed into Oblivion. I could see that. I could still that it's still somewhat viable, at least. It's probably just inconsistent, and for combo decks, you need it to be consistent. So good that they kind of gave some love to that, too. But that's honestly kind of how I break down these three changes. I think Giggly Inventor was to appease everyone. Mana Worm was to appease Zelay. And Aviana was to appease the Wild community. I'm thankful for this. I'm glad that they decided to change their mind for this. I feel like this could have been done with insanely more amounts of tact. But at the end of the day, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what they've done. I'm also a bit skeptical about how much this is really going to change things. People have been talking about how Druid is just going to be crazy. I'll leave that for the card of the week to talk through a little bit. But I'm really interested to see kind of where we go from here, because it could be there are going to be changes in the game. There's no question as a result of this. And if nothing else, I'm just thankful that we're not going to have automatically two Giggly Inventors in pretty much every deck. That is going to be a good thing for the game. Quest Rogue is probably going to suffer a little bit, though I think it's still going to be viable. I mean, Giggly Inventor was just sort of the thing that would solidify those game wins for that deck later in the game. I don't know really what decks you even play Giggly Inventor in anymore. Token Druid, actually, a lot of people have been talking about, is probably going to shift from the Strong Shell Scavenger model back to the Violet Teacher model. I think that's probably true, because Giggly Inventor is still good in that deck, but it's just not as good. You can't do as much on the same turn. And the turns that I've been able to Giggly Inventor and Strong Shell Scavenger at the same time have just been so good that it's kind of hard for the opponent to bounce back from that. So I think pretty much everything stays good that is good. It's just a little bit more fair and a little bit more fine-tuned. So I'm excited to see what comes of this. I would really like to hear what you're thinking. I would love to give some time in our community section next week for your response, because you will have had a chance to really think through it. I'm kind of giving you the day of thoughts that I have about this, which are somewhat complete, I hope. But yeah, would love to hear your thoughts. So please let me know, and I will look forward to reading those soon. So let's go ahead and jump into our community section. I do have a question here from Sankt on Discord. And I'm so sorry, Sankt, that I forgot to get to this last week. I just misplaced the question, but I have it here now. Sankt asks, I'm a free-to-play player and wonder whether it is better to save all my gold until the next expansion or keep buying packs now. It's a great question, Sankt. And by the way, shout out to our Discord. It has been hopping lately. People are talking about the balance changes. People are talking about live events. And people are sharing a lot of deck lists and stuff. So please go check it out. You can go to the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com and find a link in the show notes. I put it near the top for you so you can be sure to join the conversations that are happening there. And Sankt, I think that honestly for everyone, right now is the time to definitely, if you haven't yet, start saving your gold. We are less than 2 months away probably from the next expansion. We're a little bit less than a month away from the announcement of BlizzCon. We assume we're going to hear about it at the new expansion and hopefully a lot more, but we'll leave that to them. And so I actually just started saving my gold this past week for the next expansion and would urge you to do the same. As a free-to-play player, if you're just getting started, the suggestion really goes towards where your collection's at presently, because classic cards are always the best bang for your buck, because they're always valuable, essentially. I couldn't in good conscience tell you to buy some of the most powerful sets expansions like Kobolds and Catacombs, because they're going to rotate out come April. So I would hold off as best you can. Maybe, are there other ways to get cards? My mind has kind of been boggled a little bit by Eternal. You like get a card for every win you get in that game. So there are lots of other ways, but in Hearthstone, it's either gold through packs or it's, packs that you get in Arena. So I would tell you just sit on it as long as you've got a useful enough collection to build maybe some standard zoo lists. And I know I've seen you talking about deck lists and stuff with people too. So if you feel like you're in a good place, great. If you need some help, I'd be happy to do some collection coaching with you. If you post some of that in Discord, and other people there, I'm sure would jump in too. So we can kind of help you sort of craft decks based off of what you have and stuff like that. So hopefully that's helpful. But truly, man, for you, for everyone in the community, I would say, if you haven't started saving, save now. Unless there is something that you absolutely have to have. But with the meta shifting this week, I would say that there's probably not anything quite like that. So, yeah, that's my suggestion for you. No iTunes reviews this week. Please, please, please. I've said this for a few weeks now. Whether it is this show or another show that you listen to, if you are listening to any show consistently that you haven't left an iTunes review for, do that, do that, do that. It's so, so helpful. You hear it on every podcast because it matters. So please go and do that. If you're on the Apple Podcasts app, it would take you a few minutes to just pause the show. Go do it right now. And then come back and listen to the rest. I've got a good Card of the Week song, but it can wait for that. So please do that, and I'll be looking forward to reading some more reviews here very soon. Okay, Card of the Week song. I it's funny because I get to these days when I'm recording a solo show and I have no clue what I'm going to do. And then things just happen and I find a song randomly and I'm like, yeah, that would actually work. And then I basically got it. So that's the story of how this song was created. But here you go. Do I look lonely? I see the horns up on my face. Taranda has told me I don't look the same. I thought that I'd lose cards. It looks like I won't. I'm the best of the best. Put my health up front so you know I can't lose. I'm walking the long ramp, watching my stars fall, nourish on five, armor all of the time. How don't I live the death of a giggler? Oh, 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 letting a neutrons fall, the death of a giggler. Ha, 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 seems it's just armor now, druid ever after, ooh. Bridge of paths forevermore, not a single ounce of laughter at the expense of the death of a giggler. That was for you. I didn't listen to that song enough. I know I messed up some of it, but hopefully you forgive me for the fun. So Branching Paths is the card that I chose just because I really think that this needed a looky look. Branching Paths is an epic druid spell from Kobolds and Catacombs. It reads, choose two, draw a card, give your minions plus one attack, gain six armor. So I mentioned this morning in my tweet, my predictions and stuff, I wanted to see the gain six armor just nerfed slightly to gain four armor instead. I feel like 12 armor for four mana is just bananas. And I remember reviewing this card with Wicked Good and thinking, like, it's really flexible, but like what deck needs all that flexibility? And the truth is pretty much every druid deck does. So this card just continues to be so, so strong. And I don't know that the draw a card or give your minions plus one attack aren't fair. I feel okay with those, but it's a gain six armor. I really think that's probably just a little bit too strong. But I'm not the developer. Yeah, so if you're looking for cards to craft, if you want to play some druid, Branching Paths is a very good choice. And rip Giggler. Offer the death of a giggler. Man. Hey, I want to close up today's show by reminding you, of course, as always, you are the happy Hearthstone. This podcast exists for you. It's sustained by you. There's so many ways to get involved. And I can't twist your arm because I'm just a guy making a show for you and hoping that you like it and that you'll join me in this crazy thing of enjoying the game together. So whether that's coming back next week and listening again, joining our Patreon, leaving an iTunes review, joining the Discord, checking out the website at thehappyhearthstone.com, there's just so many ways to support and become a part of our great community. So I want to thank those of you who are a part of it and urge those of you who maybe all you've done is listen to the show and you've done that for a while, step your toes into the deep unknown and come hang out with us over on Discord, on Twitter, or somewhere else. Also, I have to send a huge thank you, as always, to Red Knight, Risen, and John M. Red Knight, obviously that song was for you because I know that Panic is always playing in your Twitch. And I haven't listened to much of his new stuff, but I kind of like it. So I'm sort of a pop fan to a hopeless pop fan who just gets sucked into any song, honestly, that's catchy. But thank you three so much for supporting the show at the highest level and being producers of the Happy Hearthstone. Can't thank you enough personally for how you've impacted me personally and how you continue to sustain the show. As always, I'd love to hear what you thought about this show. If you'd like to join me for a future show, send me a message at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com or reach out to me on Twitter at @AndrewsLiving. Again, if you're going to be at BlizzCon, let me know. I'd love to figure out some way to meet up, or if we just find each other roaming through the halls, that's cool too. But I'm just psyched out of my mind for that and can't wait for what's ahead. Hey, focus on the good stuff, okay? I don't like being critical, but I feel like it's not appropriate to not be transparent, at least with some of those things. So please hear any criticality from me in love, if it's directed toward the game. Like, people don't get worked up about stuff that they don't care about, to be clear. And I feel like I've done a good job representing the things that really matter, like how thankful we are that they're shifting and how thankful we are that they're saying stuff. So take everything with a grain of salt. And no matter what you think, I'm sure you're with me that you're excited to see kind of what's ahead with all of the changes. I just can't imagine what's even going to happen on the standard ladder. There's going to be far less laughter, that's for sure. But all of us will be a little bit thankful for that. So thank you so much for joining me, for visiting the Happy Hearthstone, and having a little fun with us. I'll see you next time.